yanha anil fahshai, and notice how each part of the verse is linked. Allah forbids fahsha. What is fahsha? Something shameful, something that you consider, or rather you would not like to do in front of anyone before whom you have haya. Haya is a term generally translated as modesty or shyness. Haya is, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-hayau sha'batu min al-iman. Haya is a part of iman. Why? Haya is a sense that restrains you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, idha lam tastahi fasna' ma shi'ta. If you don't have haya, you will do as you like. And this is when your haya finishes, that's when fahsha takes over. Haya is, for instance, you're ashamed of yelling before your parents, or you're too embarrassed to use foul language before an elder person. What is fahsha? When you lose all sense of caring, when you lose all sense of decorum, and you let them have it. And you're yelling, and you're shouting, and you're using foul language, you're doing foul deeds. For instance, when people drink publicly, and there are many people who do that, they will be drinking wine publicly. They think this is a form of honesty. It's not. It's fahsha. They're showing openly, flaunting their disobedience before Allah. And this is what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma meant when he said, oh, you who believe, when you sin and you laugh, your laughter is worse in Allah's eyes than the sin. When people are shamelessly gossiping and laughing at the thought of how evil they're being, this is fahsha. When we're flaunting our sins before Allah, I don't care. That's what fahsha is. And fahsha is the root of all evil in every society. Have you never noticed that when the first sin was done, it's done with shame? But gradually, as people become inured to the sight of that sin, and then it becomes common. And then people take it for granted. And at the end of the day, those who are not doing it, they're the misfits. There was a time when there were very few dishonest people in our society, very few dishonest officials in our society. And now it's the exact opposite. There are very few honest officials in our society. That has become a rarity. Why? Because of fahsha. When people lose their sense of shame, they just don't care. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَى. The first thing He's forbidden. Now the second thing is, وَالْمُنْكَرْ وَالْبَغِي. Munkar comes from nakir. This is something hateful, something inappropriate. Now this can be anything nasty, anything cruel, anything wrong, anything forbidden by the Quran, anything forbidden by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything that your heart tells you is wrong. This is munkar. Something which is disliked. Even socially it's disliked, provided you're moving around in the right society. Now we need to understand that adal ihsan and ita'i dhil qurba, if we focus on these three things, they will keep us away from fahsha, baghi and al-munkar. And so to understand how we can treat these three diseases, fahsha, munkar and baghi, we come back to adal. It starts with adal and it ends with adal. And adal, this is a really important point, adal is not equality. For instance, you know, you hear this vast outcry about equality of the sexes. Men and women are not equal in the way they use it. They're not the same. They're different individuals with different rights, different responsibilities. But at the end of the day, if they obey Allah, the reward will be the same. The women who work more will be rewarded more, and the men who work more will be rewarded more. This is Allah's adl. Now we find that Shaitan made a promise in the Quran. The promise was that I will change the creation of Allah. I will confuse them. I will distort them. Allah created the men as the qawwam, women as the qanitat, women with a specific body, with a specific dress code. And Shaitan vowed that he would confuse the two. And to a great extent, he has succeeded. If you think about it, what causes baghi and injustice? What causes evil and fahsha? It's lack of adl. When people feel they're being cheated, they go nuts. They lose it. And when they lose it, then they don't care who they harm in their search for vengeance. If you think about it, this is what happens. When people are disturbed, they're emotionally disturbed. Why are they emotionally disturbed? And again, it comes back to lack of adl. There's a beautiful story that once an unknown Egyptian youth came to Umar radiallahu anhu when he was the Khalifa and he said, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, I would like to place my case before you. I had a race with the son of Amr ibn al-As, who is another companion. I beat him, and when I beat him, he whipped me, saying, 'I am the son of exalted people. You know, how dare you beat me in the race?' Then his father imprisoned me for fear of you." Umar radiallahu anhu said, "I'll make sure that justice is delivered to you." And he sent for Amr ibn al-As and his son in the days of Hajj. When they came, he told the Egyptian youth, "Now beat him, beat Amr ibn al-As's son, because he beat you." And while the Egyptian was whipping him, and obviously the father could not protest, this was Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar radiallahu anhu kept on saying, "Beat the son of exalted people." And when it was over and the Egyptian said, "Now I feel that I have been heard and I'm satisfied," he turned to Amr ibn al-As and he said, "O Amr, since when have you enslaved humans? Their mothers bore them free." When I heard this story, I understood why Islam attained such heights in those days and why it's in such a terrible state now. Could we imagine justice of this nature? An unknown Egyptian appears from nowhere, but his plea for help is heard. This is adl. And if you give each person their right, then there will be no fahsha, there will be no munkar, and there will be no baghi. What would have happened in today's times? The Egyptian would probably have been imprisoned. So when he came out, he would have come out a hardened criminal. We find that once a state messenger came from some great country of that time, and he came to meet Umar radiallahu anhu, and he was told, "You'll find him over there in that hut." He went in and he saw Amir al-Mu'mineen sleeping on the dust. There was no one there to guard him, no beds, no affluent surroundings, and there was just a small cane by his side. He was sleeping peacefully. And he was so moved that he said, "O Umar, this man before whom the emperors of the world quake can sleep peacefully alone without any guards?" And then he said, "Umar, you have done adl, and that's why you're at peace with yourself. You're not scared of anyone. The kings of the world do zulm, and that's why they live in a state of fear." This is the most important advantage of adl. Once you have done your duty, you're in a state of inward peace. Otherwise, there's guilt. To cover up the guilt, you do some more evil, then you justify that, and then you're in a state of restlessness. So adl is to be true to the fitrah with which Allah created us. And the fitrah with which Allah created us is that we give to each person his right. We're supposed to do adl in speech. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. When you speak, be just, even if it goes against a relative. Not that you say, "Oh, I'm doing إِتَاءَ ذِي الْقُرْبَى over here by lying on her behalf." Adl in expenditure, that you're neither too extravagant nor stingy, but moderate. Adl in your clothing, that you're neither wearing lavish clothes out of sheer arrogance, nor are you going around looking like a beggar saying, "Oh, I'm, you know, an ascetic." Adl is the middle path. And al-ihsan, a reminder. Like a rose, the moment gives scent to all, even to the hand that crushes it. And the greatest incentive for ihsan is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves those who do beautiful things. See, our problem is we think of ihsan and adl in very limited connotations. Adl applies to every aspect of our life, in our emotions, in our speech, in our behavior, in our conduct, in our treatment of our children, of our servants, etc. So does ihsan. We're supposed to do ihsan even with our possessions. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah has ordained beauty for all things. Imam Hamza Yusuf narrates that once when he was studying in Mauritania, he was scratching his ear with his pen. You know, sometimes some people have some little mannerism, some will doodle. He was just doing this and the scholar, his teacher, smacked his hand. He said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "Allah took an oath by this pen in the Quran. Noon wal qalam wa ma yasturun, by the pen and what they write." And this is how you're treating it? Think of the way Muslims treat their books. It makes you want to cry. The books will be lying carelessly thrown around. Children are scribbling on the books there because they see the elders doodling on the pads while they're talking on the phone. All of this is a negation of ihsan and a negation of adl. Look at the filth in our streets. Look at the litter in our parks. Why? Is this ihsan or is this something that we should actually be ashamed of? This is a shameful thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, At-tuhuru shatrul iman. Purity is half of faith. But we have reduced faith to just reading the Quran and just doing a couple of good deeds and thinking that's it. No, ihsan is in every aspect of your life, in your homes, in the way you walk out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed people who litter the public highways. And how carelessly you're eating or your child is eating and they're throwing the litter out of the window and no one stops them. It's taken for granted. And one person tries to change and people laugh at him. And they laugh at him until he becomes embarrassed and stops doing it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us about cleanliness. He taught us about purity. And most of all, remember, ihsan in relationships. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, was once going off to sleep and he asked his slave, he said, can you just fan me? And this was the custom in those days. Now while she was fanning him, she fell asleep herself and he happened to wake up because it was really hot. Quietly he picked up the fan and began to fan her. And she suddenly awoke and she was really embarrassed and really upset that, I'm so sorry, why didn't you tell me? He said, no, you're also a human being. And this is something we find in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah as well. Inna Allah ya'murukum bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba. Adl breeds peace and ihsan breeds an inner happiness. Because ihsan is all about recognizing the brotherhood of the believers. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. The believers are a brotherhood. So much so that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wounded in the battle of Uhud and the Sahaba, his beloved nephew, had been killed and mutilated by the mushrikeen, and the Sahaba came up and said, just curse them, give them one curse that will destroy them. And he said, Allahumma ghfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Allah, forgive them. Forgive my people, for they don't know. This was his way. No compromise, no apologies. We think of ihsan that, oh, I won't pray today just because my friend is here and she'll get upset if I leave her for a little while. That's not ihsan, that's not even adl, that's zulm. This is Islam, the moderate path. That you're firm, but you're not harsh. Do you know the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful verses about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? فَبِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. By the mercy of Allah, you're soft with them. This was after they returned from Uhud. Thanks to the disobedience of the archers, they disobeyed his command. But he had no reproaches for them. And Allah says, had you been harsh-hearted, had you been hard with them, لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, they would have dispersed from you. And sadly, the people of deen, the religious people, are the toughest, the most unbearable ones to live with. So self-righteous, so harsh, so, you know, judgmental. And if you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the softest of people to live with. خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. The best of you is the one who is the best to his family, near family, including spouse. وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. I am the best among you to my family. So think about this verse. Try and tell your families about them. Tell your husbands about this verse. The reason being that this is a verse they hear every Friday. A verse that everyone listens to, very few understand, and very few actually act upon. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي يَعِزُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah enjoins justice and beauty in giving to the relatives. And He forbids indecency and evil and injustice. He advises you. Why? So we go home and forget. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. So that you may take heed. So that you may understand. So that you may implement, internalize, and change the shape of the Muslim Ummah. Do you remember how Allah defined us in Ali Imran? It's a verse that makes one want to weep. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You were the best of nations. You were created for mankind. Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf. You enjoin what is right. Watanhauna 'anil munkar. You forbid what is wrong. Wa tu'minuna billah. And you do it for Allah. You believe in Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك تبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك
إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأوفوا بعهد الله إذا عاهدتم ولا تنقضوا الأيمان بعد توكيدها وقد جعلتم الله عليكم كفيلا إن الله يعلم ما تفعلون ولا تكونوا كالتي نقضت غزلها من بعد قوة أنكاثا تتخذون أيمانكم دخلا بينكم أن تكون أمة هي أربى من أمة إنما يبلوكم الله به وليبينن لكم يوم القيامة ما كنتم فيه تختلفون ولو شاء الله لجعلكم أمة واحدة ولكن يضل من يشاء ويهدي من يشاء ولتسألن عما كنتم تعملون ولا تتخذوا أيمانكم دخلا بينكم فتزل قدم بعد ثبوتها وتذوقوا السوء بما صددتم عن سبيل الله ولكم عذاب عظيم ولا تشتروا بعهد الله ثمنا قليلا إنما عند الله هو خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون ما عندكم ينفد وما عند الله باق ولنجزين الذين صبروا أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون فإذا قرأت القرآن فاستعذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنه ليس له سلطان على الذين آمنوا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون إنما سلطانه على الذين يتولونه والذين هم به مشركون وإذا بدلنا ننزل قالوا إنما أنت مفتر بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون قل نزله روح القدس من ربك بالحق ليثبت الذين آمنوا وهدى وبشرى للمسلمين ولقد نعلم أنهم يقولون إنما يعلمه بشر لسان الذي يلحدون إليه أعجمي وهذا لسان عربي إن الذين لا يؤمنون بآيات الله لا يهديهم الله ولهم عذاب أليم إنما يفتري الكذب الذين لا يؤمنون بآيات الله وأولئك هم الكاذبون من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليهم غضب من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم ذلك بأنهم استحبوا الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة وأن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين أولئك الذين طبع الله على قلوبهم وسمعهم وأبصارهم وأولئك هم الغافلون لا جرم أنهم في الآخرة هم الخاسرون ثم إن ربك للذين هاجروا من بعد ما فتنوا ثم جاهدوا وصبروا إن ربك من بعدها لغفور رحيم يوم تأتي كل نفس تجادل عن نفسها وتوفى كل نفس ما عملت وهم لا يظلمون وضرب الله مثلا قرية كانت آمنة مطمئنة يأتيها رزقها رغدا من كل مكان فكفرت بأنعم الله فأذاقها الله لباس الجوع والخوف بما كانوا يصنعون ولقد جاءهم رسول منهم فكذبوه فأخذهم العذاب وهم ظالمون فكلوا مما رزقكم الله حلالا طيبا واشكروا نعمة الله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون إنما حرم عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فإن الله غفور رحيم ولا تقولوا لما تصف ألسنتكم الكذب هذا حلال وهذا حرام لتفتروا على الله الكذب إن الذين يفترون على الله الكذب لا يفلحون متاع قليل ولهم عذاب أليم وعلى الذين هادوا حرمنا ما قصصنا عليك من قبل وما ظلمناهم ولكن كانوا أنفسهم يظلمون ثم إن ربك للذين عملوا السوء بجهالة ثم تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا إن ربك من بعدها لغفور رحيم إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يك من المشركين شاكرا لأنعمه اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم وآتيناه في الدنيا حسنة وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين ثم أوحينا إليك أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين إنما جعل السبت على الذين اختلفوا فيه وإن ربك ليحكم بينهم يوم القيامة فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون ادع إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين وإن عاقبتم فعاقبوا بمثل ما عوقبتم به ولئن صبرتم لهو خير للصابرين واصبر وما صبرك إلا بالله ولا تحزن عليهم ولا تك في ضيق مما يمكرون إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون.